The MIT Sloan Management Review Podcast, bringing you the best new management research and ideas. A technique called balanced benchmarking provides managers with a sophisticated mechanism by which to assess and manage the effectiveness of different branches or units. Understanding balanced benchmarking. File under Data and Analytics. Managers can't always trust their intuition about how employees will perform. Intuition can be misleading or just plain wrong. A growing number of savvy service businesses are using something authors H. David Sherman and Joe Zhu call balanced benchmarking to help assess and manage the effectiveness of their different branches or units. In their article Analyzing Performance in Service Organizations in the summer 2013 issue of MIT's Sloan Management Review, they detail the ways that companies are using a sophisticated linear programming technique called Data Envelopment Analysis, or DEA. They use the term balanced benchmarking in talking about this analysis. Balanced benchmarking is unique both in its ability to identify paths to improve productivity and in its value as a complement to other analytic techniques, they write. Balanced benchmarking simultaneously considers the multiple resources used to generate multiple services, along with the quality of the services provided. For example, bank branches can use 6 or more types of resources and provide 20 or more types of services, all of which are considered with balanced benchmarking. By combining this information, balanced benchmarking provides unique insights about best practices and opportunities to improve productivity and profitability, information not available with other techniques. Looking at data in this kind of detail has been done by banks, insurance companies, computer manufacturer field service organizations, supply chains, and more. In the nonprofit arena, the methodology has been adopted by government agencies, school systems, and universities. Sherman and Zhu explained that balanced benchmarking allows a company to compare various business units, for example, the different stores of a national chain, in terms of different inputs, the number of sales clerks and managers, the square footage of the display space, the inventory, the advertising expenditures, the utilities used, and so on, that are used to generate a number of outputs, total revenues, profits, number of customers served, average sales, and a number of items purchased per customer, customer satisfaction ratings, and so on. For instance, consider a hypothetical example of a small chain of 5 custom tailor shops. Take into account just 2 inputs, employees, measured in labor hours, or H, and supplies, measured in dollars, or S. Sherman and Zhu show that all 5 shops could have the same daily revenues and services through 5 different combinations of labor hours and supplies. Using this kind of analysis would show quite clearly if one store is less efficient than another, if that one uses the same number of supplies but more hours to achieve the same output as another store. Sherman and Zhu note that balanced benchmarking goes well beyond crude metrics and ratios, such as profitability and account billings per employee, to assess the performance of different service providers, say, the London and Tokyo offices of a global advertising agency. They write, the power of balanced benchmarking is of course more apparent when there are many service units being evaluated, up to, say, 3,000 physicians or 2,000 bank branches, where the units are using multiple resources to provide several services, sometimes more than 20 types of service, and where these units might be located near each other or in different states or different countries. This article is adapted from Analyzing Performance in Service Organizations, written by H. David Sherman and Joe Zhu, which appeared in the summer 2013 issue of MIT Sloan Management Review, and read by Matt Robert Williams. To read more or get the full version of this article, please visit sloanreview.mit.edu.